Hello, I'm Martin.
And I'm Angelina.
And this is the CX Cast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the CX Cast. Hey, Martin, how's it going, co-host?
It's going great. Spring's here in the UK, and we've actually had some sun.
Wow, we had ice the other day, but I'm glad you're doing well.
We did get sun and hailstone the same day, but, you know, enough about the weather.
Okay, keeping it quirky. Of course. Us New Englanders got that from y'all.
Right.
The weather chat. We have other guests on the line that are patiently waiting. We have Principal Analyst Gina Bowalker. Hey, Gina.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. And we also have Analyst Senem Biikla. Hey, Senem.
Hi. Hi, Angelina. Hi, Martin.
It's great to be back.
I'm glad to hear it. And with all of that housekeeping aside, we've had Gina and Senem on before, and we know that they cover a wide variety of topics, responsible design, research methods, UX at large. Today, we wanted to focus on design for empathy. And so they're going to help talk about what this research is about. And in fact, let's start there. Design for empathy. What is design for empathy and why does it matter?
Yeah, perhaps we can start with empathy first, Angelina, because it is such a broad concept that everyone has an idea about what it is, what it isn't. That's why there are different approaches to defining it. And there are many definitions going around on what empathy is. But in simple terms, we can define empathy as the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. And in customer experience, understanding the customer's perspective is really the key to creating successful customer experience. So that's why empathy becomes a very important concept when designing experiences for customers. So that's what empathy is. And many brands, actually, they conduct research to understand their customers' perspectives, their needs, pain points. But sometimes they fail to reflect that knowledge, that understanding in the experiences they design for customers. And that's when designing for empathy comes into play. Gina and I have been thinking about this problem for a while. And we realized that a more intentional approach to design experiences with empathy in mind can be the solution for this. So that's why we have this designing for empathy now. And we define it as designing experiences that not only meet customers' needs, but also show that you are emotionally connected to them and understand their experiences. So in other words, while empathizing with your customers, understanding them is a crucial part of research, design for empathy transforms those learnings into empathetic moments where your customers feel heard and understood. So making your customers, helping them to feel heard and understood is really the main point of this framework.
And if I could just jump in and add one thing, I imagine many of you listening to the podcast today have probably heard of Forrester's Customer Experience Index, have probably heard us talk about the importance of thinking about emotion when we're designing experiences. And there's definitely a connection here to that work. So you just heard Senem say probably 5 or 6 times, you know, we want customers to feel understood. Designing for empathy is actually a really great approach to think about how can we reflect emotion more in our experiences, not just create experiences that work, that are easy to use, but experiences that customers actually feel good about. And so I hope that people can kind of see as we talk about the concept today, the connection of design for empathy and designing for emotion and delivering quality customer experiences as we talk about all the time here at Forrester.
I'm really glad you brought up CX Index because that's exactly where I was going to go with this, is that emotional component. And when you say it like that, that sounds so obvious. Why doesn't every brand just do this already? What's in the way of brands doing this?
I think there's a couple of things. One is that the way that the field of design has always talked about empathy, it's always reflected as a step in the design process. You know, we're all familiar with, you know, the 5 hexagons, for example, the first step, empathize with your customers, and then you move on into solutioning and et cetera, et cetera. It kind of it reinforces this like problem that Sena mentioned, which is like empathy is thought of as a step versus we need to think about it as a thread, right? Something that we pull through the entire process. We never stop empathizing. We never stop thinking about how we translate those learnings into like empathetic moments in the experience. So I think that's one of the challenges. And then the other one that I hear all the time is, okay, this all sounds good, but what's the ROI of empathy, right? Why does this really matter? And it turns out it actually really does. What we talk about in the research is the connection of empathy to trust. You know, we know based on the trust research we've done about building and strengthening trust at Forrester that empathy is one of the key levers. It's one of the key things that brands need to focus on in order to build trusted relationships. Because it turns out when your customers feel heard and understood, they do a lot of the things you want them to do. They buy more from you. They recommend you to others. They're more willing to try new products. All the things that we want to happen, all the things that help generate more revenue for us as brands. And so there is a clear connection there, but that's often difficult for people to see. And so, you know, a conversation has to happen to really, you know, draw that connection. And then it becomes very obvious, oh, okay, I understand why empathy matters and why we need to take a more intentional approach, as Sena was saying, to threading empathy throughout our design process.
And it's when we look at the CX Index data, particularly for Europe, I think this applies to the US as well, often we over-rotate on happy, joy, make the customers delighted, but actually it's confident, understood, respected, valued are the emotions that come out as being the most important drivers of loyalty. And they're hard to do. So I kind of like where you're going with this empathy piece.
And that's a great point. Measuring UX metrics such as ease and effectiveness, they are very well established. We know how to do them. But when it comes to measuring and improving emotional quality, there is still not very well established methods to do that. So I think that's also one of the reasons that adds to this problem, makes it difficult to, you know, design emotional state of the experiences in mind. And another thing to that is that I think those emotions, as like empathy, also, they are misunderstood because there are so many confusions around what different emotions mean or and what empathy means. And sometimes that's why empathy is misunderstood. It is perceived as just being kind or projecting warmth in the experiences we design. So I think because of those confusions, we are not seeing a lot examples where they really act on those customer understanding and create empathetic experiences.
Going back to the earlier point about how empathy is traditionally a step in the process, you both recently wrote a report, came out a couple months ago, five best practices to design for empathy in digital experiences. And what struck me about your five best practices, it's really about expanding how empathy shows up across the design process. Can you share one or two best practices and talk about kind of how you got to them?
Yes. One best practice we discuss in the report is immersing yourself in the problem space, meaning that be out there and spend time with your customers, because it's a very common practice to imagine what your customers might be going through, which is better than doing nothing, but it is not true empathy, because when you just rely on your own imagination about what your customers might be experiencing, they're still your experience. They are not your customer's experience. So that's why one best practice that we discuss really in the report is the importance of conducting research and engaging with the people you design for. Do your research, observe your customers' experiences. As part of that, getting frequent customer feedback on the experiences you design, you create is a very important component. And also, like going back to your question, Angelina, how we came up with these best practices, we conducted interviews with various design teams and research teams to understand how they think about empathy, how they leverage empathy. And it was surprising to find out that although those teams do not explicitly think about, hey, we are designing experiences for empathy, we saw that in their processes, in their research process, in their design process. That was a constant idea, like really understanding customers' needs and understanding and acting on that understanding was one of the key principles those teams that we interviewed have had in common. So that's where the best practices are coming from. Gina, would you like to add more?
Yeah, I'll just jump in and share that, you know, one of the other best practices that becomes so critical to that point of, okay, you immerse yourself in the problem space, as you just talked about, Senem. You gain all of these insights, you know, understanding of your customers, and then things get lost, right? That's the challenge. So this best practice I wanted to talk about for a moment is just the importance of then how do you share those insights across your team and organization and ensure that those insights are constantly kept top of mind? And this is where I think as CX professionals, your skills as storytellers can really come into play. So for example, we'll see organizations doing things like creating a Slack channel for sharing just little nuggets of insights that's being, you know, gained as we immerse ourselves in the problem space, or creating journey maps that have, you know, video clips from research embedded so that people can really, you know, experience firsthand what it's like to be a customer going through that journey end to end. Research watch parties, right? We did this research. Now let's all get together and, you know, experience this, experience the customer's journey as they see it. And then use that as a jumping off point for ideation. How can we translate this into better moments in the customer experience? Persona cards, you know, let me articulate, you know, our understanding in a set of personas and then, you know, create tools that will help teams, you know, keep those personas top of mind when they're making decisions. And so that, you know, best practice about then you have to take those insights and come up with powerful ways to share them across the organization to help teams engage with them, make design decisions based on them. That's a really critical piece of design for empathy as well.
A lot of what you talked about there is like classic, is that right? Emerging use cases for generative AI. So summarizing like patterns, creating content, visualizing things in a different way. Is like, is AI going to make this easier, harder, better, worse? What's going to happen?
Oh gosh, I love actually posing that question to clients that I work with. Do you think AI is going to help us design for empathy or not? I mean, I have a couple thoughts, and then Sun, I'm curious what you think as well here. So, you know, there's definitely reason to be concerned and say, actually, AI might not help us design for empathy so well. I mean, we see a lot of empathy like failures out there where generative AI is involved. One of the ones that I use a lot as an example is this chatbot Tessa that was designed by the National Eating Disorder Association here in the US. And they began to, you know, embed generative AI capabilities into this chatbot. And it was revealed that the chatbot was giving weight loss advice, for example, to people recovering from eating disorders. That is definitely not a demonstration of empathy and is very concerning. And they ended up pulling the chatbot down. So we see a lot of those like cautionary tales out there. But then we also see some really good examples of how generative AI is helping empathize with users. So Adobe, they created a feature called Generative Summary within Adobe Acrobat that essentially, you know, will allow the user to take a long document and create a very tight summary of what's in the document. This is really powerful, both for creators of these documents who want to actually generate a summary to maybe display at the top, which is a very good accessibility practice. It's also helpful for consumers of documents who want to be able to just quickly get a sense of what's in it. And they really honed in there on a use case where, you know, previous technologies just weren't very good at doing this. Humans aren't very good at creating summaries of long documents. And so even just the creation of that new feature was a way of saying, we understand you. We understand this is a need that you have, and we want to help. And we're creating a feature specifically to do that. So I think, you know, there's definitely a lot of potential here for AI features to help in terms of supporting this idea of designing for empathy. But, you know, we should approach it with skepticism and make sure that as these features are being designed, that we're, but, you know, really making sure that we're vetting these experiences through the lens of different ethical principles before determining they're ready for prime time with our customers.
Martin, I really like that question because I'm thinking a lot about that question actually nowadays, how AI will, whether it's going to be good or bad on empathy. And I will talk about this topic at Forrester's CX Forum in June, how to maintain empathy in AI-driven world. So that's why I'm thinking about this question a lot. And I'm surprisingly optimistic. Like, as long as companies leverage research expertise and practice responsible design, I think there are really good opportunities that empathy can help building empathetic experiences. Gina already gave some examples. So even helping customers with the tasks that they're not happy to do is a form of empathy, because empathy can really take different forms depending on the customer experience, the tasks that customers have to do. So I am optimistic, but I agree with what Gina said. We have to be cautious at the same time.
And the whole theme for all of our events, so North America, CXMA, APAC, is human plus AI. So we're really kind of leaning into that human in the loop. Don't fall down the trap of Gina's example.
Right. So then, of course, what should you do? And maybe just more generally, what should you do in terms of applying these best practices, which, again, are in the report, 5 best practices to design for empathy in digital experiences? Where should folks start?
They can start with assessing their research and design processes. For example, research and design teams, they can start asking questions such as, are you making decisions based on customer insights? Do you think empathy across all phases of your design and research processes? And then it's also important to ask, what are your strengths and where do you see opportunities for improvement in your customer experience? It's also important to discuss with your colleagues and partners about how much they think customer empathy is playing a role in their decisions. So I think the first step is really to build this awareness around empathy.
I'll just add, once you've done that, another really good way to start to cement these practices is dissect a current experience that you have. For example, last week I was with a client and it was a digital marketing department, and they looked at their process for designing digital campaigns. And they specifically looked at a campaign they have in market and said, okay, did we do a good job demonstrating empathy in this campaign or not? If not, you know, where did things potentially break down in terms of insights getting lost and not translated into moments in the experience? So that can be a really effective exercise, I think, as well. Is next week, you know, take an experience that you have in market. How did you do in terms of designing for empathy? What could have been better? And that can be a great way to start to think about how these 5 practices we outline in the research are being reflected in your process, or maybe not reflected in your process yet today, and reveal where some of those gaps are.
Another step you can take is that make sure you have resources and tools to reach out to customer insights. I mean, as Gina mentioned earlier, sharing insights across your partners, across organizations is really an important step to do this. And for that, companies, research and design teams need appropriate resources and tools to do it. Like research repositories, for instance, it really makes easier for organizations to share insights with their partners. So thinking about the technology or tools you might need to improve your practice can be another step to take.
Yeah, I think that the advice of just start small, control the scope. Don't think you have to redesign your entire design process, but just like Gina said, start somewhere and try it out. And then if it works, scale it, do it again, is absolutely timeless. So thank you.
Thank you, Gina and Senem, for joining the CXcast once again. Their research is on Forrester.com. You can find them on LinkedIn. If you have your own best practices to share, I'm sure they would love to hear them. Thank you both for joining.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And thank you to producers Ellie and Julia, without whom none of this would happen. If you want to get in touch, email us at cxcast@forrester.com. As always, you can find us at forrester.com or on your favorite podcast platform. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and tune in next time for more CX insights.